This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
His name, of course, though, is Bobby V. Bobby Valentine. Bobby Boomer and Craig, how you been, pal?
I'm great, guys. Thanks for calling. Thanks, Craig. Actually, Steve Young's from Greenwich, and now I'm at Sacred Heart University waiting for the Nick Giaquino-led Pioneers to beat Bryan again today in the NEC championship game.
Well, good luck to them, and good luck to the young men out there that are playing. You've been there a long time. I never thought you'd last that long there. I thought at some point...
God, you're unbelievable.
No, I thought at some point, like, to me, Bobby Valentine is a manager, and once a manager, always a manager. But I know you love being there, and it's a great gig for you. So... You know, when we hear these, you know, these people write these books and excerpts come out, you know, I know why it happens. An excerpt comes out because in theory it's going to sell more books. But in hearing hearing of your explanation yesterday, I got to get Bobby on because if the criticism that David Ortiz had of you was that you were merely trying to teach them fundamentals of baseball, I would think, criticize me all you want. I'm not the one that's embarrassed. You are, right?
Oh, God, I don't know. I was kind of bushwhacked yesterday. I didn't know that thing came out. And, you know, for whatever it's worth, I really loved David Ortiz when he was in uniform with me. He was a spectacular guy and teammate. And, you know, I mean, if this is all he has to say about spring training 2012, and that those were the problems that the Red Sox were having, you know, he'll probably sell this in the fairy book section of the bookstore, not, you know, not in the nonfiction or fiction, whatever he's classifying it as.
I think what maybe he doesn't understand is why you were hired in the first place. If I remember correctly, and I haven't even read up on it, I just kind of think back to the perception of what the Red Sox were at that time was kind of like a loose bunch in the locker room. That there were things flying around all over the place, that you were brought in because of discipline. And I would imagine that that was the first aspect of your job requirement as required by your employers, the owners of the Red Sox. Is that true?
Well, yeah, Boomer, you know, I had to be the one to go out there and say no more beer in the clubhouse.
Right.
No one likes a beer better than me, you know, so that was one of those weird things for me to do. And, yeah, and you know, they said they needed more fundamentals. They needed this. They needed that. And, my God, when you're an infielder running out for a pop-up, you don't say anything because it's the outfielder's call, so there's not a high-speed collision. I thought, you know, that was 101 as far as baseball is concerned.
Yeah, I just think I could see exactly what happened here. And, you know, David Ortiz is a Hall of Fame player. He's a great guy. He's a jovial guy, a great personality. Won a World Series there, you know, prior to you getting there, a couple World Series, but prior to you getting there and everything else.
Yeah.
And the last thing a player of his ilk wants to hear is somebody coming in from the outside telling him how to play his position or discussing fundamentals and all this other stuff because he can't see the forest through the trees. But he doesn't know what you're being told by your employers to do and what they wanted from you. So I get the disconnect there, and I can understand how difficult that must have been to coach a team under those circumstances.
Well, yeah, thanks. It was difficult, and obviously there were a lot of things that went on that didn't go according to Hoyle. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, spring training was one of those first-look things, and there are a lot of guys who are young, and they benefited from a real structured spring training. I was thanked by some of the younger guys, but, you know, no one likes change, and especially established guys who have won world championships. The last thing they wanted to do was anything different than what they have done in the past.
Talking to Bobby Valentine, A, because he's a friend, B, because this David Ortiz thing came out, and you know we love drama as much as anybody. It's the fuel for our show. So what I like hearing from you is that you're not bothered by it one bit, and you have great respect and admiration for David the player. If you saw him tomorrow at a hotel appearance, I imagine you'd go up to him. I'm not sure if he would to you. How do you think that conversation would go?
I don't think it would be aggressive at all. You know, I saw his wife out at a baseball complex during the summer. I think last summer, this summer before, their son was playing in the tournament. I didn't recognize her right away, and I went over and I said, "You know, your son's here. He's a good player. Maybe I'll manage his team in the next game." And she said, "No, his dad already tried that. It didn't work very well."
that's the way.
Connected. And I said, "Please give him my love." You know, and you know, I never heard anything aggressive. I think it was to fill the book a little. You know, that I can't imagine that being something that someone having such a great career would even be bothered with at this time. You know, I'm wrong.
I kind of get it, though. I understand where David's coming from, and I think it really has to do with the fact that he had already won World Series there, that he was a celebrated player there, and that you are asked to come in from the outside and clean the mess up. So I get all that, Bobby. Let me ask you this. And I was trying to tell Craig this because, you know, baseball, I've never been on a Major League Baseball roster. I don't know how the everyday mechanisms work within the body of the team and all that other stuff. You know better than anybody. If there is a player that you are managing and that player is doing things off the field, and I'm talking about Matt Harvey here, how aware of it is the team, the players, the management, the manager himself, of all the things that are going on away from the field, especially when a guy has erratic behavior?
Well, you know, I lived through that entire cycle of things from the mid-80s, you know, when I had Steve Howe and I tried to be his father and confessor through Rick Leach with the Mets, who I also tried to intervene and do as much as possible. And now there's structure that is in place where the uniform personnel are not supposed to have anything to do with anything that's happening off the field, and that there are, you know, people to see, people to report to, and you're really supposed to, you know, almost turn a blind eye to it and let the professionals handle situations that are other than hitting the cutoff man and throwing strikes.
Even when it's adversely affecting the team, even when there's discussion within the locker room, within the coaches' offices about, you know, things that are going on. Now, in this case, I'm talking about Matt Harvey. Okay, he misses a meeting, he misses a team sanction event. He's got to be there. Everybody knows what's going on. You know, you guys are traveling all over the place. You know when a guy is not totally in on what's going on. There's a lot of whispers in the locker room and things of that nature. My point being is, everybody realizes what's happening here within the body of the team. Am I right?
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. Right, because they're so close. They're with each other all the time. I would think from a managerial standpoint, the most annoying part of it is, because we all respect that you want the player to be healthy. You want what's best for them individually as people. But just not knowing when you come to the ballpark every day.
What you're going to get.
Yeah, is he here? Isn't he here? If he is here, what's he doing? What's, you know, and I'm sure over the course of your career, you've probably dealt with that, you know, more times than any of us ever know. But I would think it's the unknown, the unpredictability of that kind of behavior that's the most troublesome for a manager, especially someone like yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. It's unsettling. And, you know, when you don't have a settled stomach, when you're addressing, you know, the task at hand, everyone could see that, you know, people could tell that there's something wrong and that you have something else on your mind as a manager, as a teammate, a coach, or as the person affected.
Yeah, it's weird. Then guys like us sit back, and you know, we're guilty of this all the time. You kind of play armchair, you know, psychiatrist and doctor, and you try to figure out what's wrong with the guy. But you know, the worst thing, it's, you know, I know it's a quote from a movie, is wasted talent, which comes right from A Bronx Tale. But I think when you see a guy like Matt Harvey, and I'm not suggesting I know what all his alleged problems are because I don't, but how do you handle a guy like that? And doesn't have to be mad himself. When you know this kid has, you know, a talent that could make him a Hall of Famer, and you see him potentially wasting it, do you pull a guy like that aside privately? Do you embarrass him publicly amongst the guys? How do you handle that type of situation?
I always tried to do it privately and thought that I could connect with the guys. But like I say, Craig, now there are systems in place where the uniformed personnel are not supposed to be involved in situations of marital, of off-the-field stuff that's going on, or anything other than the stuff that, you know, involves your department, and that is, you know, the playing of the game of baseball. I think it's crazy. I always thought the manager had to fulfill the need of the players. And when players have particular needs because they have problems that they're dealing with, I always thought that I had enough of worldly experience to help out. But it's really frowned upon today.
And now you have the exact opposite, and you have Derek Jeter, who's obviously being vetted this weekend at Yankee Stadium. They retired number two the whole bit. I know you didn't coach him, but you had to have gotten to know him pretty well, just being, you know, local and, you know, the same kind of baseball circles. Any anecdotal stories or something you could share on a one-on-one basis of a moment you may have had with Derek on the field or off?
Well, he made a relay throw, and I'll pause there, and it's not the one that got Timo Perez out, but it was in Columbus, Ohio, playing for Stump Merrill back in, I guess it was 94, and it was a spectacular game-ending throw, and the next day I came out, Stump brought him over, introduced him to me. He said, "Very nice to meet you, Mr. Valentine," and I said, and Stump agreed, "You're going to be a star in the big league someday. Keep your attitude." He said, "Thank you." I saw him last week at the Steve Starker's charity event in the city, and he said, "Hey, Mr. Valentine, how you doing?" So as unsettling as I'm sure it was for many managers to have people who you couldn't predict what was going to happen when they got to the ballpark, it must have been extremely settling to have someone that you knew exactly what you were going to get day in and day out, as he was in a Yankee uniform.
And 20 years later, he still called you Mr. Valentine.
Unbelievable.
Right? I mean, he's 40 years old
well,
himself.
It was Mr. Torrey, the whole thing, yeah. The same thing. Yeah, very respectful, great. No question.
All right, listen.
Yeah.
You know, when the Mets were going to that National Series, having lost 9 out of 10 with the prospects of going against Scherzer and Strasburg, I said, look, call Bobby up, tell him to get ready. I also said, call Wally Backman up, and they don't like it when I say that.
I wish you'd call me sometime to manage your softball team. I mean, I might be good at that, you know. I can relate to some
of you, but here's the problem. You managed us once. We played a game for John Franco at MCU Park a couple summers ago. And it was such a great departure for me having to answer to you as the manager as opposed to Boomer that we wanted to make you our, you know, manager emeritus. So anytime you want to come by, we'll give you the title.
Yeah,
and the
well,
hat.
You see, the problem here, Bobby, is you would definitely be the opposite of me. You would be the softer of the two managers. I try to get the best out of these guys. They're afraid of me. I try to intimidate them and to get the best out of them. So they sometimes can't handle that.
He ain't lying.
Inform them, instruct them, and inspire them, Boomer. You can do it all the time.
Yes.
He thinks it's the fourth quarter of an AFC Championship game. We're playing charity softball in cargo shorts.
We're showing up to win. That's all I can say. Bobby, great to talk to you, as always.
Yes, enjoy.
You guys are great. Have fun. Love what you do.
Good luck to the kids who are out there playing for an NEC Championship today as well. Thanks for the time.
That was great.
See?
There you go.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.